Ghost Town San Francisco. Crime-ridden city has lost half of its downtown stores since COVID hit, with 95 stores shuttering and just 12 new retailers opening in their places, of which two have either closed or said they're going to close shortly. And this is as homeware store William Sonoma says, "Nope, we're closing too, not renewing our lease. We are out of here." And then we've got London Breed saying, "There's no issues here. It's fine. Come to our fine city and experience the shopping that you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're missing. Which one is it? All the stores closing or things are just fine?" Let's get into it in San Francisco. Here we go. Major stores continue to back out of crime-ridden San Francisco, with a disturbing report showing 95 retailers. I've looked down the list. It's significant. I mean, we aren't talking just a handful of little stores, you know, independent stores. You're talking some major, major retail stores, you know, that exist on a worldwide basis. And they're like, not so much in San Fran. No, we got to cut our ties. We need to go somewhere where they don't have crazy people whacked out on all kinds of drugs, roaming through the store, stealing stuff left and right. And there's not a damn thing we can do about it. We're going to close that store. And that's what they've done in droves, literally in droves. So more than half the total have closed since the start of the COVID pandemic. At least one more is set to, with William Sonoma announcing they'll shut down in 2024. Out of 203 retailers open in 2019 in the city's Union Square area, just 107 are still operating, a drop of 47%. In just a few pandemic-ravaged years. Now, this was going on prior to the pandemic. Let's be clear. The situations in all these cities have been going on for a long time. But I think the pandemic just really, you know, squeezed a little bit of gasoline on the fire, putting out fire with gasoline. I mean, you can't go wrong with David Bowie, can you? So among the heavy hitters, Brooks Brothers, Ray-Ban, Christian Louboutin, I don't even know who that is. Lululemon, love my Lululemon joggers. And Marmot, I've had a lot of Marmot mountaineering gear over the years. They have all packed it in. Another 12 new retailers have opened in the area. Hey, all these other guys are closing, but we're going to take a run because we're going to make this work. And, you know, IKEA doing the same thing. IKEA is opening a big store in this area. So, you know, and it's kind of like in the Blade area of Seattle, we've got this store called Uniqlo. I mean, it's kind of like this discount, Chinese discount brand-ish, lots of bright lights. I've talked about it before, but some really good clothes for really inexpensive, like, you know, $15 for a shirt that I've still got a handful of them. I had them for, you know, a number of years and they're still good clothes, but they're opening up a store basically, you know, almost on the Blade in downtown Seattle. And I'm like, what are you doing there? Haven't you seen all these other stores that are closing down? I mean, what happened to your research about opening up this store? But you know what? One man's garbage, another man's whatever, however that saying goes. All right. So here is your San Francisco retail bloodbath. This is Union Square. So this is over here is basically the Tenderloin. So you're in the heart of it. So yeah, you've got Brooks Brothers, you got Discount Shoe Warehouse, you've got H&M, you've got The Gap. Now they're, you know, victim of the retail apocalypse. Ray-Ban, Marmot, Office Depot. If you don't have a lot of people working in downtown San Fran, you have less need for Office Depot. Plus there's another one nearby that they're going to keep open. I mean, you got Lululemon. I mean, Arc'teryx, the list just goes on, right? We are out of here. We cannot make this work. So the Union Square Alliance claims that about seven more new retail locations are hoping to open by next year, but it will still end up being a net loss of about 90 businesses since COVID first hit. Rampant crime in downtown San Francisco has left numerous retailers throwing up their hands and saying, "We out of here." In April, Whole Foods announced it was closing its locations, while Anthropology and Office Depot have also left. Remaining stores like Target have been reduced to locking up their entire stock behind glass to deter shoplifters. We've talked about that. You got the video of, oh my gosh, everything in this store is locked up. Yeah, I'm going to need somebody to help me out on buying anything in this Target, but I can't blame them, because when your stuff walks out the front door to such an extent, and here's the deal. We're starting to see more and more incidents in Target, in grocery stores, in Walmarts, of random crime, of random violence, of shootings. And that's because people who are addicted to drugs are going to these stores to steal, because word is out that you can steal from grocery stores and Target and drugstores like that, and they're not really going to do much about it. We've also got the, you know, the security card being killed in, where was that? In California. And then you've got, you know, a security guard killing another human being that, you know, and it was deemed to be in self-defense in San Francisco, and they're not going to prosecute. And that's a big deal. It's like, and two major entities have said, you know, prosecutors and district attorneys have said, yeah, no, that was self-defense, you know. F around and find out, and you did, and your dude's dead. So were, you know what I mean? So one important note is that the figures from the San Francisco Standard don't include the 100 stores in the Westfield San Francisco Center Mall. Now, I just did a podcast on that with, that was some riveting information. I believe it is 800% increase on human poop in the elevator at the Westfield Mall, Westfield San Francisco Center Mall. 800% increase in poop incidences on the elevator. They also didn't count cannabis dispensaries, two of which also packed up and left the city during the pandemic, or service-driven businesses. This is basically just retail. This is literally just retail we're talking about. Decisions like this are never easy, and this one has been especially difficult. I get tired of reading that nonsense. Like, just tell us what happened. Well, we're getting shoplifted too often, and store just wasn't safe. Wasn't safe for our employees, wasn't safe for our management, wasn't safe for our customers, wasn't safe for anybody in the chain to make this business roll. And so much was being shoplifted right out the front door and the five-finger discount that we decided to pack it in. Decisions like this are never easy. Yeah, okay, whatever. But as many of you know, the dynamics of the downtown San Francisco market have changed dramatically over the past several years, impacting customer foot traffic to our stores and our ability to operate successfully. Those are the two major corporate reasons, excuses that sound good. But if you dug just a little bit deeper, you'd go, oh, okay. So impacted customer foot traffic, meaning people walking around in the area going to these stores. Well, that's because people are kind of frightened to walking around near the Tenderloin. I mean, you got a bunch of, it's an open air drug market. Why would you want to go shopping somewhere where you could possibly get accosted, shot, you name it, have a crazy person scream at you, have somebody defecating in the elevator? Why would you want to put yourself through that? Especially when you can buy half the stuff online. Probably more than half, right? Probably all of it can be bought online. I get stuff from Lululemon online. I think Lululemon's a great brand for me. I enjoy wearing their XL products. I mean, they just fit. I put them on and away we go, right? So impacting customer foot traffic to our stores and our ability to operate successfully, meaning a good portion of your profits are walking out that front door being shoplifted, and you can't do much about it because of Proposition 47, which means that if you steal anything under $950, it's a misdemeanor. It's not a felony. So there's no real jail time associated with it. And even if you did get arrested in San Francisco, district attorney, I mean, they're just not prosecuting this kind of stuff, right? And until they turn that around, It's not going to change. You're just not going to change. Westfield Mall was much more blunt in its statement to the Washington Post, pointing directly to rising crime running businesses out of town, which it referred to as unsafe conditions for customers, retailers, and employees. That's pretty direct. I appreciate that. I respect that. All right. So you had to get the F out of Dodge. That makes sense. I get it. I understand. You are no longer able to make a go of it, or you choose not to, because, you know, people think that stores and businesses are like the government. You have to be there. You have to serve us. No, they don't. They don't. Businesses outside of all this don't have to be there. I don't have to be in this office space. I choose to be. Businesses don't need to be in the Westfield Mall. Businesses don't need to be in Union Center. They're just like, no, we're out of here. But now we have a food desert. Well, maybe some of the policy that you put in place is coming back to bite you in the back end, right? Maybe just a scooch of that. This is California after all, right? Nordstrom joins the growing list of stores that have abandoned the coastal city, including H&M, Marshall's, Gap, and Banana Republic. Okay, a bunch of those are because they're going bankrupt anyway. But this long list, I mean, it did not help. It did not help that a company that's already struggling has locations that are just being hammered on. Those are going to be the first to go, right? All right, let's stop the bleeding. Let's close that one up. Let's close that one up. Let's close that one up. Despite official reports that San Francisco's crime rate is on the way down, one former prosecutor said this month that the city's liberal district attorney's decision not to prosecute many crimes skewed those numbers. And the fact that I think the vast majority of this stuff is just no longer being reported. It doesn't even hit the police blotter. It just doesn't even hit there. So if you're not prosecuting and you're not arresting, yeah, your criminal numbers are going to look less, right? You're going to have a drop in them. The Market Street Anthropology will be closing its doors on May 13th. We talked about that in a different podcast. Office Depot, located on 3rd Street, also be shuttered. But that to me, okay, let's be reasonable. We're reasonable here. Always got to throw out the reasonable. That to me is an indication of, okay, you don't have enough worker bees in downtown, right? Not enough of this stuff is being consumed. And you've got yet another Office Depot. When all the buildings, your commercial vacancy rate, I think right now in San Francisco is touted to be like 26%, but I've also read like 32%. It's high. And across the United States, it's like 20% in the downtown core. You've had a shift happen there with people working from home. I read a story in Seattle about how the Amazon going back to work as of May 1st is really impacting traffic on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Monday and Friday, not as bad, which, okay, yeah, you just struggle to get into work on a Monday and no traffic. Hey, bonus, right? Or Friday, just not much traffic. But that's an indication that there's just not a lot of people in the downtown cores, not a lot of businesses operating. They don't need as much in the way of goods for those businesses. That is what, I would explain there on that one. There is still another Office Depot in San Francisco left in downtown. So it's not like you've got a office goods desert, right? So downtown San Francisco has had a hard time bouncing back after the pandemic as shoppers have failed to flock back to the once popular shopping location. So the locations we're talking about were some of the most epic shopping in North America, period. And that I think is what that is what I think we're looking at, is that it's gone from really desirable. I mean, you've got everything kind of all within a small geographic area. And that is also why I think you had as many dash and grabs as you had. Smash out the window, get inside, smash out the showcase, grab the stuff and go. Because they knew that they're in this district and you can hit a bunch of places and you're going to have, the world is your oyster. Hey, go to this area. You can whack as many places as you want. If one doesn't look good, you go over to the other. Smash and grab, right? The city as a whole has struggled to recover as the city's residents continue to battle a crime epidemic brought into sharp focus recently with the murder of Cash App CEO Bob Lee. Well, yes and no. The brutal broad daylight attack on the city's former fire commissioner. Okay, but he was doing, the murder of Cash App Bob Lee. He was involved in some drugs and the guy who killed him, he was probably banging his sister and they were involved with some drugs and something called the lifestyle. you know, drugs and casual sex. So, you know, that's out there. The broad attack on the city's former fire commissioner, who may or may not have, you know, pepper sprayed some homeless folks. Then you got a little retaliation. So let's not, you know, let's be reasonable here. But that does in no way, neither of those storylines take away from all these businesses closing down. So if these businesses were making money and if safety wasn't an issue, do you think I'd be sitting here talking about 100-something stores closing in an area that's got 200-something stores? No. The proof of the pudding is, you know, in those numbers. The Bob Lee, that just throws a little bit of extra fire on top of it. And then you've got Chachi, you've got Ralph Macchio leaving California in general, you know, a little more fire on the, you know, gasoline on the fire. And you've got Elon Musk saying it's a, you know, it's post, San Francisco is post-apocalyptic. And he's running an office there. He's running the Twitter office there. So he's like, hey, if you haven't seen what's going on here, come take a peeky see. So, but you know what? Okay. So that aside, let's hear what London Breed, our fearless mayor of San Francisco, who, remind you, she ran on more of a moderate platform, which she pointed at, hey, look at all this crime. This crime is out of control. Hire me as your mayor and I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to work on it for you. And unfortunately, you know, the stuff, the underpinnings of why this criminality is rising, that hasn't been addressed. The massive, massive drug explosion has not really been addressed. Now, I know you've got the feds coming into San Fran. I know you've got the sheriff's department coming in. We're going to do all these interagency things. You know, we've got stuff going on. But until you start throwing a bunch of people in jail or putting people in mental institutions or putting people into treatment involuntarily for drug abuse, for drug addiction that is killing them at record numbers, until you get a handle on some of that stuff, this crime is not going to go away, because you got people clamoring to steal stuff, to sell, to buy drugs. Just that simple. So if they're not stealing from stores, which are closing down in record numbers in San Fran, they're going to steal from the community. People's houses. Because those addictions don't go away, do they? They don't just magically, well, you know, like Antifa just kind of disappeared, right? Like Black Lives Matter just kind of disappeared. Just disappeared, went off the radar. You're not going to see that. That's not going to be a thing. Because these addictions and these drugs that these folks are doing, you know. So getting back to my point is Mayor London Breed, she ran on a campaign promise of, I'm going to clean this bad boy up. Well, I mean, I don't think there's anybody that can quickly clean up San Fran at this point. It's not a thing. It's not going to happen until you just really drop the hammer on crime and start arresting people. And you don't have enough cops to do that. Putting people into treatment involuntarily, putting people into mental institutions involuntarily, you know, actually prosecuting people. Getting people the help that they need, until you start doing that, not allowing people to camp just willy-nilly wherever, till you start addressing some of that, why would this go away? That's my bottom line. So the thing that got Mayor Breed into office is now it's what everybody is pointing out and saying, hey, you said you were going to do this and this is happening. And she can't control it. She has zero control over this because she has very little ability to, you know, drop the hammer on all the things I just mentioned. Because I don't think San Francisco is ready to do that. They're just willing to sit in their own, you know, ridiculousness and go, whatever. Things are terrible. But instead, they just go, it's San Francisco. This is, yeah, we like it here. We like human poop in the elevator at the Westfield Mall. Yeah, we enjoy that. It's quirky. It's like Portland, but worse. So in a press conference, let's hear what London Breed had to say, but that's the background, right? Got elected into office on a tough on crime campaign. Yeah. In a press conference Tuesday, San Francisco Mayor London Breed pushed back on the narrative that Union Square is dying as a rash of retail outlets close their doors. Remember that Seattle is dying? Well, yeah, in certain aspects, there are certainly certain streets that have died. Seattle's the number one big city in growth in the United States. That's per the U.S. Census Bureau. So, you know, there's that. And Bellevue isn't far behind. So I think Seattle is at 2.4% in migration, and Bellevue is 2% immigration, and that's in the last year per the Census Bureau. Facts don't care about your feelings. Oof. Yeah. Breed pointed to stores. This is London Breed's counter to the narrative that Union Square is dying. Breed pointed to the stores that have recently opened up in the city's retail district, such as Toys R Us at Macy's last year, and those that renewed their leases, including Levi's. Well, just because the store renews its lease doesn't mean that it believes in the area. They've probably just got so much invested and they're making enough money that they're willing to take the risk of having their employees, you know, accosted, having safety issues happen, having a large portion of their profits go out the front door and the five-finger discount. They're able to tolerate that, or they've got enough, you know, profit coming in from everywhere else that, okay, let's just roll the dice on this one for one more year. We'll see what happens. You know, stores do that. And then a lot of stores close down. So, and just because a store opens up, it doesn't mean it's a good decision, right? How about Whole Foods, very close to where we're talking about here, that was open for 13 months and had 568 911 calls? How about that? London Breed isn't talking about that, is she? No, she's got to spin it where, hey, come to San Francisco, bring your business to San Francisco. That's a tough sell. Even for a real estate dude, that would be a tough sell. Hey, bring your business down here and try and not get killed. How's that for a spin? Try not to have more than 50% of your goods walk out the front door and don't really have the ability to stop shoplifters at all. How about that? But, you know, open up your store anyway. Invest millions of dollars in our community, and here's how we'll reward you. By, you know, having people OD in your restroom, like happened in Whole Foods. So there's that, right? Here's London Breed. We didn't hear about YSL, Yves Saint Laurent, however you pronounce that. I think that's the most ridiculous overpriced brand. And Chanel, expanding their footprint because they've recorded record sales in Union Square and a number of the luxury retailers who are here to stay, Breed said. We didn't hear about Banana Republic and others moving into this corridor of the Union Square area. No one's talking about the fact that IKEA is going to be opening a store on Market Street. Well, because I think a lot of people would say, given the current market conditions in this small geographic area are not conducive to opening up a new business. But if some businesses want to, hey, it's a free country, right? I mean, kind of. Yeah, I mean, sorta. A little bit. Just scooch. You can still lease out commercial space in San Francisco and nobody's going to hit you up. I was reading there's like 26 million square feet in downtown San Francisco. 26 million. Oof. And who was it? It was Uber. Uber's got four big buildings in downtown San Fran. Three of them, they've got office workers in. The fourth, they just put up for sublease. The entire building, a massive building, 286,000 square feet of space. I mean, you know, some considerable, we're talking a lot of office space. They never occupied it, and now they're subleasing it, just going to dump more space on. So, you know, you gotta read between the lines on these narratives. But London Breed, she's got to spin to keep her job, because if she just says, yeah, it really sucks here. God, what are we going to do here? You know, what if she just gave one of those type explanations at her press conference? And God, it is bad. I mean, geez, you know, watch out for that crazy guy over. Oh, watch out for that crazy guy over there. Who knows what that guy could do? You know, we're not doing that. We got to have this big city, you know, mayor spin. So Breed directly addressed media outlets that have featured stories on the demise of the city's retail neighborhood. Those folks who don't walk the streets in San Francisco, that don't live in San Francisco, but they want to write about and commentate about San Francisco. I challenge you to come to this city and see what it feels like. I challenge you to come shop at the stores that you're complaining about, which you probably never even stepped foot in the first place, she said. I challenge you to come to our restaurants and to see what's happening. Okay. All right. I get that. You're saying, hey, come down first place. But all we're saying is a lot of businesses have closed down that are not under one owner. They're not under corporate ownership. There's a lot of independent businesses here that have just said, nope, no more. That's what we're talking about. Whether or not you've got a vibrant marketplace and you got some great restaurants, I don't think anybody is questioning that you've got great restaurants. I think people are just questioning, you know, Union Square and Westfield Mall. Not a great place to be opening up a business right now. It's just not. It's just not. So, you know, are you on the flip side to getting this squared away? So the mayor's statement comes after Nordstrom announced on May 2nd that it would close its flagship store at Westfield San Francisco Center, two blocks from Union Square, in July. The Seattle company is also closing its off-price Nordstrom Rack across the street from the mall. And they're just basically saying, oh, well, we got to go. Yep. And they came right out and said safety concerns, right? During the past year, several other major retailers from Anthropologie, we've covered them all. We've covered them all. So they've announced a $6 million plan to beautify the three blocks of Powell Street. So they got this plan. I mean, they're going to try and do some stuff, but you know, it's like I said, until you start to really hone in on what it is that is causing these problems, you've allowed homelessness to just run rampant. You've allowed crime to just run rampant. You've made shoplifting a negligible offense, like misdemeanor. You get a traffic ticket. You've made possession of drugs just basically, you know, not non-criminalized. You're not going to go to jail for that unless you just have a bunch on you and your, you know, intent to sell. Even then, the district attorneys are not probably going to prosecute because you got this soft on crime deal, even though they just got, you know, they voted out Chesa Boudin and brought in the new district attorney. You're going to still have the results of all of this underlying stuff that's been built up for years because of the decisions that the voters in San Francisco have made. I don't see it any other way. So until you start to work on some of those underlying issues, you're going to have stores come in. You're going to have stores take a run at something. Hey, cheap rent. Oh, why don't we sign this bad boy up? And they do. And then like 13 months later, like Whole Foods, you can't tell me a big entity like Whole Foods, which is owned by Amazon, didn't do some research before they decided, you know what? We'll take that storefront. Now, quick update on that Whole Foods location. There was a grocery outlet, I think it was, that was saying, we'd love to take that space. We'll take it. I mean, if we can work something out, if we can get some really cheap rent, we'll take this space and we'll run with it. Well, that building is going to be sold instead. That just went on the market, I believe, earlier this week or last week sometime. So the article was saying, you know, it might be difficult to, you know, develop a grocery store in a building that's going to be, that's in the, on the market and going to be sold, which is a massive understatement. You know, that's a no-go. That grocery store isn't going in. That was all talk. And when it comes down to it, if anybody in the grocery industry did their, you know, the demographics are one thing. Yes, you've got people nearby with money that are able to buy. That's not the issue. The issue is 568 911 calls in 13 months. Yeah, that's the issue. That's the issue the London Breed is wildly overlooking. She is overlooking the Detroitification of San Francisco. There's no other way you can say it. And it's the policies that you've put in place that have ended up here. Policies, same damn policies here in Seattle. That's okay. Steal your 70-inch TV. It's all good. We're not really going to prosecute you. I mean, yeah, we'll do a little bit. But I think San Francisco and California in general with that Proposition 47, that really did a green light number on criminal activity. And then during the pandemic, it was kind of like, all right, if we're not enforcing anything else because of, you know, COVID, then the world is our oyster. Let's start stealing some stuff. And then you've had this explosion of drugs at the same time, this escalation of fentanyl overdoses. That's because people are taking a lot of drugs. And so you've got all these different little factors that are just kind of coming together and they're putting the kibosh on almost half of the stores in a small area in San Francisco that used to be known for some pretty prestigious, some pretty epic shopping. And you look at the list of stores that's left and you're like, oh my gosh, that is some world-class shopping in a small area. And that's what it's been known for. And that's why I think this is so significant, because you're kind of seeing the unraveling. You're seeing the unraveling in front of you, and there's no ability to really defend that. Yes, you can throw out, oh yeah, there's a store coming in. But, you know, what's that ratio? You got what, one store? You know, you got a dozen stores coming in versus 100 something that have left. I mean, those numbers don't lie, do they? So, bottom line is, until you get some of this stuff squared away, expect to see much of the same. Expect to see other stores closing. How many other stores are going to close? You still got half of them there. How many other stores are going to close before this gets better? A bunch. And I'll podcast them for you right here on News for Reasonable People, because it's reasonable to identify why policy goes by sideways. It's reasonable to identify why policy impacts something. And then, you know, folks in that area have got the option to make changes. Just like Seattle, we got like a whole bunch of our city council seats. Seattle really wants to make a change and get tough on crime. Vote a bunch of Republicans in. Let's see how that goes. We've given the whole Democrat thing a run for how many years? How's that working out? Not all that great. We've got a city attorney in Seattle. She's a Republican. And you know what? I think she's doing a pretty darn good job. She had like 5,000 cases to clear, and all of these prosecutors had just a backlog of cases because nobody was doing any court. You know, there was no courts open. Like, oh, I don't want to get the Rona. We can't even figure out how to Zoom all these meetings. So all these, you know, arraignments and hearings and whatnot. So you just, you know, came up against a massive backlog. So, but I think she's doing a good job. So, you know, you could vote in folks that are going to be tough on crime, but it's going to take a massive effort to get this bad boy turned around. And until then, like I always say, podcasts for days, weeks, months, years. So make sure you subscribe, hit that notification bell, do all that good stuff. Thanks for being here. I will catch up with you in the next one. Bye for now.